Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Study of God podcast. This is episode number 37. I am your host, Daniel White III, president of Gospel Light Society International. This podcast is designed to give you a basic understanding of God, if that is possible, the Bible, and Christian beliefs according to the Word of God. Dr. J. Dwight Pentecost said, "There is no higher activity in which the mind may be engaged than the pursuit of the knowledge of God." Let's start out by reading the Word of God itself, the Bible. Today's passage of Scripture is St. John 6:33, which reads, "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Today's words from a theologian are from Oswald Chambers. He said, "We look upon the enemy of our souls as a conquered foe. So he is, but only to God, not to us." Our first topic for today is titled, "Did God Really Make Everything?" Part 4 from the book Understanding Theology in 15 Minutes a Day, by Dr. Daryl Aaron, and I want to remind you to take advantage of our special offer. If you enjoy this podcast while you are driving down the road to work or on the treadmill or walking your dog in the morning, whatever the case, maybe lying on your bed, if you benefit from this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of this book, Understanding Theology in 15 Minutes a Day, as well as the other book we use as a text in this podcast. It is available on our website for just $25. Dr. Daryl Aaron continues, "What creation reveals? What can we learn about God from the doctrine of creation?" As already noted, the Creator is an astoundingly powerful and wise God who loves people and in his goodness has provided for them through what he has made. So he is a personal and relational God who desires closeness to humans. By the way, we should not imagine that he created people because he was lonely. The doctrine of the Trinity reveals perfect, eternal love between his three persons. Rather, God created in order to share his loving goodness, which we experience primarily through relationship with him, through Christ. We see God's sovereignty in what he has made. The principle is that you are sovereign over what you create, that is, copyright and patent laws, etc. Therefore, because God created everything, he is sovereign over everything and has the right to rule over it. We see God's transcendence, which refers to his being outside of and over his creation. He is not contained within it, yet he is not only outside and over, he also is down here and very much involved from moment to moment. This is referred to as God's immanence, and we must regard these realities in balance. God is not either or, but both and. If we so emphasize transcendence, that immanence is lost. We arrive at deism, the idea that the Creator God is now off doing other things, no longer involved with what He created. If we so emphasize immanence, that transcendence is lost, we arrive at pantheism, the notion that God is so involved in creation that Creator and creation are one and the same. Creation is God, and God is creation. Dear friends, if the Lord tarries His coming, of course that is a wrong conclusion, but if the Lord tarries His coming and we live, we will continue looking at this topic in our next podcast. Our second topic for today is titled Theology, by the Our second topic for today is titled Theology of the Synoptic Gospels, Part 4, from the Moody Handbook of Theology by Dr. Paul Inns. And I want to remind you to take advantage of our special offer. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of this book, The Moody Handbook of Theology. It is available on our website for just $50. We continue looking at the modern developments regarding research into the relationship between the Synoptic Gospels. Redaction criticism. Redaction criticism is a method of biblical criticism which seeks to determine the evangelist's point of view by ascertaining the creative editorial work carried out by him on his sources. The writer is not merely a historian, but he becomes a theologian in the modification, composition, and creation of tradition. The writer may be creative, altering or embellishing the historical tradition, or even departing from historical events. An example of this is Gundry's approach to interpreting Matthew, in which he suggests that the visit of the Magi was not a historical event, but based on the shepherd story that he changed to suit his theological purpose. Redaction criticism seeks to distinguish between the writer's theological viewpoint and his source materials. A major problem, obviously, in attempting to solve the manner in which the Gospels were written is that the above-mentioned theories are mainly conjecture. There is, for example, no evidence of a Q source. Also, the more recent theories generally build on a thesis that Mark was written first, which is a serious problem because it militates against 18 centuries of tradition and also the comments of the Church Fathers. It does not militate against inspiration to suggest Mark was written first and Matthew and Luke borrowed from Mark. However, it appears highly unlikely. Several factors need to be considered in a solution. Number one, the above theories stress the human aspect in the writing of the Gospels, which is a legitimate consideration, but it sometimes neglects the divine element. In John 14:26, Jesus promised the disciples the Holy Spirit would bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. This is an important statement suggesting a supernatural element in the writing of Scripture. How could the Gospel writers remember the details of the life of Christ or the conversations supernaturally? It was promised by the Lord in the upper room. This aspect ought not to be neglected in considering a solution. This is a divine element in the writing of Scripture. Number two, the writers wrote from first-hand knowledge and frequently as eyewitnesses. Matthew and John were eyewitnesses who wrote what they had observed and experienced. Mark wrote through information from Peter. Luke probably gained his knowledge from Paul and others, as well as through his own research. Number three, there were other eyewitnesses who saw and heard the Lord and who could provide information, although it is generally suggested that Luke drew on written sources, and that is certainly possible. Luke 1:23 seems to suggest he investigated eyewitnesses and servants of the Lord who handed the information down to him. Number four, they wrote through divine revelation and inspiration. Some elements simply cannot be explained on human terms. Paul, for instance, wrote and taught as a result of divine revelation. He stresses that he did not receive his gospel from any man, not even the apostles. God revealed his truth to Paul directly. Now, beloved, in our next episode, we will continue looking at the theology of the Synoptic Gospels. Let's pray. Holy Father God, give us your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and I will make the request that I've always made since I have been saved. Lord, you grant the increase, and we pray that you'll help us to utilize what we have learned to increase our faith and to increase the faith of others and to encourage others to trust Jesus Christ as Savior so that they can get to know you, God, and not just know about you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, before we close, I want to remind you that while it is important to engage in the study of God, it is far more important that you have a relationship with God. I fear that there are many people who will die knowing a lot about God, but not really knowing God himself. You don't want to be one of those people. If you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in the free pardon of your sins, and you want to trust him as your Savior today, here is how. Accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law at some point in your life. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, dear friend, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now without Jesus Christ. If he is not your Savior, that's where you're headed, according to the Scriptures. In fact, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states very clearly in Revelation 21, verse 8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Yes, I know, dear friend, this is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said himself in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you, because if you are still living in this world, God loves you. So for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, that includes you, believeth in him, trusts in him, has faith in him, Jesus Christ, should not perish in a place called hell, but have everlasting life in heaven. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins. was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him in heaven. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, your heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Until next time, my beloved, may God bless you and keep you until we meet again.